Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, and welcome to Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in the Imperial Valley. My name is Scott. Maria has gone astray. Now she gets stuff to do. This is your voice for wellness and the show for wellness. And as always, it's a pleasure to welcome you to this. We've been doing this for 6 years or so now. So, been around the block. And if you've been around the block with us, well, you know, I appreciate it. It's good company. And we're always trying to bring things that help support community wellness. And today is no exception. Of course, if you hear the door, you know, parenthetical note here. If you hear the show today and you're like, wow, this is like a tremendous show. This is a great show. Remember, KXORadio.com uploads podcasts of the show onto their web stuff. It's like two clicks maybe on the top row from the left-hand side, and you click on demand, and one of those is Let's Talk About It. And sure enough, there's like a long list of radio shows that come down, drop down list, I think they're called. And you pick the one you want. And so if this is the one you want, just kind of make a mental note of that. Or if you want to share it with friends, family, other significant people in your life that you think really need to hear this information. That's always cool. Hey, listen to this. And then think, oh, okay. And then whether you listen to it or not, I guess depends on your allegiance to that person or whether they typically send you cool things or send you things that, you know, I listened the first couple times and not so much anymore. So anyway, there you go. 337-8874 is the phone number. You're welcome to give us a call and ask questions, talk to guests, and anything else that needs to be done. We have WTC in the house today. Yeah, I know, it's an acronym. But Maria's not here to correct me, so. No, Work Training Center is in the house. And, yeah, they're known by WTC, right? I mean, that's their logo. And so Work Training Center's here, and we are joined by Virginia Gonzalez, and she is Deputy Director. Ooh. No, it's cool.
Good morning.
I aspire, baby. I aspire. Someday. I play my cards right, huh? And Griselda Martinez, and she's the supervising care manager, right?
Yes.
Right. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
And let's, everything Imperial County, everything Imperial Valley needs to know about the Work Training Center. Let's squeeze that into this remaining 51 minutes.
Okay.
And see where we go from there. All right, Virginia, you're the deputy director. Work Training Center, where do we need to start?
Well, first of all, I think that everybody needs to know where we're located. Our address is 210 Wake Avenue. And our phone number is area code 760-352-6181. And we are located as you go to the Social Security office.
Okay.
We're actually on your left-hand side.
On the way to the golf course.
Correct.
Or if I miss the turn to Lucky's or Home Depot.
Pretty much you'll hit us.
Okay.
So we're there. Imperial County Work Training Center is a nonprofit organization. Actually, we've been in existence for over 30 years.
That's pretty good for people that don't make a profit, huh?
Pretty much. We're on the right track.
30 years. I mean, so Work Training Center had its roots in, it was 1980, I guess.
Pretty much, yes.
So kind of left over the social stuff of the 60s and 70s. And
right. So it's been carrying over.
Was there? I wonder if there was a recession or something in 1980 that, like, we were like, well, we need a work training center because there's a need for that in the community. There must have been something that came along that was important enough. I think it was like, I'm trying to remember the gas recession and, you know, the oil embargo, and maybe it was some of the response to that. I think the economy was not very good in 1980.
Well, the thing that the Work Training Center actually came about was because we actually work with people with developmental disabilities. And I believe it was originated by the parents of the children. And they started this agency because they wanted their kids to actually be productive in something. And I believe they started with a carpentry, like, workshop.
Okay.
So that's how Work Training Center actually started up.
So 1980, you've got parents with children with developmental disabilities. I guess let's put that on the table and define it. What developmental disabilities are we talking about? Which, I suppose.
like mental retardation, for example. Cerebral palsy is another one. Autism, and there's a fourth one. I don't recall the fourth one.
Those are big things, huh?
Pretty much, yes. Actually, most of our clients currently, how we function is that they come from San Diego Regional Center. They're actually referred to us by them. And what we try to do is provide vocational training and janitorial services. And hopefully within, you know, some time, they can actually get employed within our community. And that's the whole goal of the program.
I guess it starts with the individual, the adult. So this is for adults, right? Who have experienced these lifelong developmental delays. These are things that aren't going away, basically.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. And so when they grow up, one of the things that we put into, we've seeded into the grow-up environment is, you grow up and get a job, right?
Yeah,
and
that's right.
It's been there for a long time. And so, you know, you think about people with developmental delays, and it's not like they're not getting the message, because it's a pretty obvious message.
Right.
And so you've got these people who are growing up with these pretty powerful disabilities from what you described.
Correct. So it's very important that they're aware that there's something else for them. They don't have to stick around at home. Parents, you know, have an opportunity for their kids to actually grow as an employee of an agency. So this is a good opportunity for them to actually learn a good trade skill. The service that we provide is janitorial, so, you know, our whole goal is to actually enhance those skills for them.
And they come in seeking this opportunity.
Correct. It's all based on the client, and they really want to, you know.
I was sent to the summer camp once by my mom, and I wasn't seeking the opportunity. I was like,
you were forced.
What? It's the middle of summer, and I got to spend a half an hour on this rug, like after lunch. What is going on here?
Exactly. They really have to want it.
How does it work with Work Training Center? It really would depend on the individual's desire, I suppose, to be part of this.
Oh, definitely. And they do get an orientation, so that way they are very aware what the agency does, what are the expectations. So there's no, you know, misleading of anything or any sort. So they really understand when they first come, what is it that they're going to be doing. So that's very important. They understand that we provide services to the rest area, for example, and that's usually a starting point for them. Because it's more slower paced, we can work with them more on a one-to-one. So they understand they're going to be out in the sun, which sometimes, you know, they really don't like that. But, you know, it's a starting point.
Yeah, not too many people actually like that.
Yeah, right. But as long as they know and they're aware of it, you know.
Here, anyway. I mean, you know, in cold places, it's like, yeah, okay, let's do this.
Correct.
But here, it's, you know, it's really hot.
Especially in August.
Yeah, exactly. So you have the rest area contract.
Yes, actually, we provide services to the, what's it called, the California Department of Transportation. So we provide services to the rest areas going to San Diego, which currently are closed.
Yeah, I've been noticing that.
Yeah, hopefully they'll open up pretty soon. We also service the ones going to Bedford Springs, actually, when you go up to San Diego.
Yes, that's right, for the checkpoint.
Exactly. So we service that one also, and the one going to Caltech.
I know where that is, right by the lake, Dreamer Lake.
Yeah, so those are the definitely ones that we service for the Caltrans. And then we also provide services for the Department of Homeland Security, for the Department of Defense, and the City of El Centro. We're actually providing services to their parks and to their community center and post office.
Now, does the Work Training Center bid on those contracts? Is that
yes? Mm-hmm. Okay. We bid on those contracts like anybody else.
And maybe getting points because what you guys do is nonprofit and benefits people.
It's nice
to think that the government looked at your bid and said,
right.
"Oh, look, this is cool."
Yeah, actually, for the government contracts that we have, yes, they're specific for people with disabilities.
Okay.
With the other ones for the City of El Centro, we just bid like any other agency would.
Ooh, got it, huh? That was a good day job as well. And it was like, yes, very cool. So let's kind of walk a person through, I guess, through the Work Training Center. So someone is born with one of these four major disabilities,
mm-hmm.
and it qualifies them for the San Diego Regional Center, which is a more kind of a one stop of support for people with disabilities of that nature.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So and they grow up and they get some supportive services. Do they have to have a certain educational background to qualify for the Work Training Center, or?
No, as long as they qualify for San Diego Regional Center.
And are 18, I suppose.
And they're 18, of course, because they'll be working. And sometimes they're usually in school, they want to transition to IDC also, so sometimes with their curriculum, they have to make sure that they're out of school before they can actually start working. But if it's okay with them and the parents, and they're fine with their child going out to work, we're there.
Okay, so this person comes in, and I'm betting they get some sort of assessment of functioning.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Usually the major assessments are done by San Diego Regional, and we just get
you review their stuff.
Re-review their stuff, correct, just to make sure we know the history of the client. For the most part, they'll qualify for the program if they're not, if we don't have a wait list or what. You know, have you not? But otherwise, they pretty much can go ahead and enter the program. There is a waiting time just because of the process itself,
sure.
Like anything. Because once they want to actually be part of the Work Training Center, then they also have to open a case with Department of Rehabilitation Services. So that also takes some time. So between their case being open at Department of Rehab, we're also getting their assessment, ensuring that all of their stuff is in place to ensure their entrance into whatever work site they need to go into.
Do most of the individuals who are doing this work are receiving Social Security benefits?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do their earnings ever collide with that or influence that?
It might, mainly because of the federal sites. Actually, we have a higher...
Because you can have a full-time job.
Yes, actually, it's a full-time job. It also depends because some don't want a full-time job.
Right.
They want to just, you know, do part-time.
And you guys are good enough. You could go right up to the line of eligibility because you've had experience in it.
Definitely. So that's not a problem. So it also depends what hours they want to work, too. Full-time, sometimes, in very few occasions, it will affect their benefits for the most part.
Okay. We're talking to Virginia Gonzalez. She's Deputy Director for the Work Training Center. A nonprofit organization established in 1980-ish. So you guys are having the 30-year anniversary party, huh?
Yeah.
Are you?
I think we already had one.
Yeah.
Yeah, 30 years and going strong. You know something, huh?
Keep on going.
It's very neat. And these are jobs for people with disabilities.
Correct.
What is that called? There's a word for people, the ones that are lifelong. Lifelong disabilities, mm-hmm. These are things that don't happen to you after you're born.
There's developmental disabilities.
There are developmental disabilities, but usually with San Diego Regional Center, I believe that if your child is not born with a disability and something happens before the age of 21, you will still qualify for this.
So some people may, so it isn't just birth defects.
It's not just birth, correct? Okay. Yeah, if something happens, car accident or what have you, not, and your child, I believe, is not less than the age 21, I think they still qualify for San Diego Regional, and that's the only criteria they have to meet for the most part in order to participate with Work Training Center.
Okay. How many people do you have active in your employee field, you know, doing these jobs?
Well, with consumers,
any given time?
With consumers, we have about, right now, currently, we have 24 consumers,
okay.
And about 12 supervisors.
Okay. And how many people, so... Does the regional center help push this? I guess I would suspect that they are everybody who comes into the regional center who might qualify
mm-hmm.
for Work Training Center is at least informed.
Oh, of course.
And perhaps encouraged.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Very cool.
They're given their options.
Very cool. So they come in and you're reviewing the paperwork. Would the role that the consumers play in whatever level of work that they do be based on the assessment? So certain people may be capable of doing, I don't know, either, you know, supervisory positions or lead cleaning positions or Or are there, you know, maybe I've got some sort of developmental delay that makes it harder for me to do certain type of work?
Actually, no. Actually, our receptionist is actually a person with developmental disabilities, and she's awesome. So they pretty much can grow. They don't have to maintain as a janitor or as a...
So everybody basically starts out as janitor, and there's some other opportunities.
If deemed, yes, definitely.
Okay, excellent. And now here's where I think maybe it gets interesting for me. I know that for me to be a good employee, for me to optimize my performance at work, that there are a lot of things that I need to self-manage, mm-hmm. or have other people help me with, my whole family, you know, support system.
Right.
Well, not food, clothing, shelter, good night's sleep, life habits that make it easier for me to work, et cetera, et cetera. How much is Work Training Center involved in helping with the supports necessary for their consumers to be strong employees?
Well, actually, what we do is that we have a great relationship with Canada Regional, and we have other agencies like Community Catalyst, GSAT, that actually provide that strong support for them if they don't have family support. GSAT? I'm sorry, I really don't know.
What do they do?
Actually, they help with independent living.
Oh, okay.
For our clients, and it's the same thing as Community Catalyst. They kind of both do the same services for our clients. So it's really good because if there's any issues or concerns that are not employment issues, we definitely refer them out to them, and they kind of do an intervention with them to ensure that they're able
to... Sure, because, well, I mean, employee sick time, that's a good place to start, you know. Mm-hmm. You have contracted onto these jobs that need to be done.
Correct.
And if 18 of your 24 people were calling in sick every day,
right, that would be a
problem. You'd probably be out there doing it or something. I mean, it would require somebody to do it still.
Correct.
To fulfill the contract.
We actually have groups. We work in groups. We have 3 consumers with a supervisor. So we always try to ensure that at least we have a minimum of 3 consumers. If not, the supervisor knows and he understands, and it's also his role to kind of assist when that happens. It hardly ever does, actually. Most of our consumers, high absenteeism hasn't been an issue for the longest, so that's pretty good. Our consumers have been with us for over, there's like 2 or 3 that have been with us over 20 years. So they know us and, you know, they keep working for us, and I believe they like it because they're not reporting themselves sick or anything.
Wait, how many years?
About, I think we just gave them an award for about 30 years, I want to say, when the agency first started.
So somebody, like, who started with the agency?
I believe so, or very close,
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty great. So.
Okay, so you, my deputy director, Carmen, Virginia, you have to get out of here in a couple minutes. We're going to take the top of the hour break, but I want to kind of give you a little window to summarize whatever you need to, and give out your contact information again, and then we're going to continue the show with Griselda after the break. So what do people, if people are interested in the Work Training Center, who do they contact?
Any questions that anybody would have, they can definitely give me a call. Again, my name is Virginia Gonzalez, and the number at the office is 760-352-6181. Any manager actually would give you any information, and they would direct you to the right person to talk to. I myself, you know, anything that pertains to the agency, I'm very well aware. Griselda Martinez will be speaking to you shortly about the multi-purpose senior services program, MSSP for short. She's very knowledgeable. She's been with the program also for about 3 years. But she had been with the agency previously, so she knows the function of our case management programs also. But all managers, actually, anybody who you talk to, cool. will actually give you
now, the information. Now, you guys are a non-profit. If people in the community wanted to volunteer or something over there, would that be?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah?
Always welcome.
And if they said they heard it on Let's Talk About It, we'd give them gratitude? No. Maybe a little.
Yeah, just a little. Yeah, but good point for listening.
Okay. So, for anybody who's interested, contact the Work Training Center, and they'll hook you up.
Definitely.
Okay, so thank you, Virginia Gonzalez, for coming aboard today.
Well, thank you very much for having us here.
And tune in the rest of the morning while we talk about you for not hanging out and doing the whole show with us.
As I drive back to listen.
Completely okay. Don't worry about it, okay?
Okay.
All right. This is Let's Talk About It. We are the Voice of Wellness here in Imperial Valley, and we're going to take the top of the hour break. We'll be right back with the rest of the show and talk more about seniors, okay?
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXLRadio.com.
Welcome back to another fun-filled and enjoyable morning of Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in the Imperial Valley. My name is Scott. Maria's taking the morning off, getting some more stuff done. That doesn't mean we aren't bringing you a great show this morning. We are sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Department, and certainly supported by the hard work and diligence of the people at KUBO, including Mario Espinoza, who's the chief board op and engineer, and Mario Espinoza, who edits the show, and Mario Espinoza, who unlocks the building and lets us all in. Yeah, he is KUBO. and of course, KXLRadio.com, where you can pick up podcasts of Let's Talk About It at your leisure. Share them with your friends. Pass them to your relatives and pick up whatever information you need to get to support wellness here in our community, Pearl Valley. Starting to cool off, kind of, a little bit, here and there. Hey, it's almost winter, whenever that happens. Welcome back. We are here, and the topic today is the Work Training Center, and we're going to kind of branch off from its primary purpose. We spent a half hour talking to Virginia Gonzalez, who's the deputy director. And we have another guest today, and her name is Griselda Martinez, and she's the supervising care manager for a program for seniors that has lots of letters and is an easy acronym, but I can't remember the whole name for it, so she's going to tell us. Good morning, Griselda.
Good morning. It's the MSSP program, Multi-Purpose Senior Services Program.
Multi-Purpose Senior Citizens. Multi-Purpose Senior Citizens Program. Okay, Multi-Purpose Senior Citizens Program. Usually if you put all the words together and think about it just a little bit, you kind of begin to think about it. So, okay, so it's definitely a program for senior citizens.
Right.
Is it senior citizens? We talked about Work Training Center being for people with developmental delays prior. Are these senior citizens who have the same issues and concerns, or is this a different target population?
This is a different program. The Work Services Program is the program that deals with developmental disabilities.
Yes.
The Multi-Purpose Senior Services Program is a program that is specific for seniors, and it's a completely different program.
Any senior?
Seniors who are 65 years and older.
So not seniors in high school?
No, not seniors in high school. and they have to have certain requirements.
I will write this in my calendar for a reason to make it to 65.
Okay. Well, some people at 65 are really healthy, but 65.
Fingers crossed, huh?
Yeah. You know, but.
So you're 65, and what other kind of stuff's going on to get you into this program?
So you have to be at risk of being placed in an institution like a convalescent home or a nursing home. You have to have Medi-Cal with no share of cost, and you have to be living in the Imperial County.
Okay, so typically people who don't have a lot of money,
uh-huh.
So you've got Medi-Cal,
uh-huh.
And people who may not have, they may have lots of local family support or something, but they may have a pretty serious problem that even is hard for that support to take care of, right?
Uh-huh.
Because that could get a person in a convalescent home.
Uh-huh.
Or they may not have that big of a problem, but they may not have very much support.
Right.
Okay, uh-huh. So that could get you. So people who, and that's a big deal for seniors, isn't it? I mean, I've never known a senior who was really very eager to go to a convalescent home, I guess.
No, I mean,
hey,
their quality of life is better in their own home.
In their opinion, certainly. I mean,
for anybody. For me, I would like to be in my home versus a nursing home.
I'm sure when I get to that point, that's going to be my opinion. It's because it seems pretty universal. I haven't you know, hey, I want to go party with my 68-year-old friends in the convalescent home. You just don't hear that.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't come out, does it?
No.
Okay, so this is a service then that seniors who are in that position, because that's a difficult position, probably appreciate and value quite a bit.
Yeah, we have right now, we have 200 clients, and we also have a waiting list. So there's a lot of need in the Imperial Valley for this type of service. And the type of service that we provide it ranges from even linking them to other agencies that they're probably not aware of, to maybe even purchasing something that can benefit them in their home, like maybe a ramp that's going to be easier for them to access outside of their home, maybe like transportation services to medical appointments. What else?
An iPod?
An iPod. You know, sometimes I think there was one occasion where we purchased a computer.
There you go.
For a client that was bedbound, and his only outlet for socialization was computer.
Because of quality, I guess that's where I was going. Quality of life can have physical components, and certainly for seniors, the physical components are maybe primary. They certainly get our attention. When you can't walk up the stairs, that's an issue. Huh?
Right.
But there are other components of quality of life that may be more subtle and less noticed, but equally important, like having some sort of access to family and friends through a computer, for example.
Uh-huh.
Or even having some sort of enjoyable types of pastimes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So multi-services, right? Or multi-purpose. Does that mean literally anything, or do we draw the line somewhere?
Well, it depends on the person. I mean, they're all at risk of being placed in a nursing home.
Okay, so, and each of them has, so let's walk a person through this. Maybe we can do that.
Okay.
We're here with Griselda Martinez, and she's the supervising care manager for the multi-purpose senior citizens program offered at the Work Training Center that's been open since 1980, and it's a nonprofit organization, and is now serving 200 senior citizens with their multi-purpose services. And has a waiting list. And maybe not give out the contact information, you'd be overwhelmed. 337-8874 is the phone number. This is Let's Talk About It. And we've kind of set the table here. Okay, so now we have a senior. And who can refer this senior? I mean, self-referrals, I would assume, but many times seniors may not be aware of even your services. And so you get referrals from other agencies also, I suspect?
Right. There's a lot of agencies who are aware of our services. They give us the referrals most of the time.
Who are your favorite buddies? Who ships you people?
We get a lot of referrals from home health agencies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
From doctors.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Maybe, good. So you've established relationships in healthcare, which seems like a real important place to start.
Yes. They're aware of our program, and they know that maybe they just got discharged from the hospital, and this person is ill at the moment, and a home health agency goes and they go and see this person, but they know that by referring them to our program, they can stay in their home safely.
Because a couple of months of recovery time would be real disruptive, maybe to. Keeping their, I mean, like if they had to go to a convalescent home for a couple of months, they'd lose their apartment if they're renting something, for example, and they'd have to store all their stuff. And I could see where that would be very disruptive and also probably hard to get out of the convalescent center and get restarted with everything.
Right.
So you guys do like some short-term stuff too then?
We can as well. And once we establish...
Although with a waiting list, that kind of gets problematic, I suppose.
Yeah. We try to get them and... Get them connected to all the agencies, get their family involved, and try to keep them stable within the community and in their home. And maybe once everything is okay and we've monitored them for a couple of months, we discharge them out into the community so we can bring other people in who are on our waiting list. But sometimes it's impossible to just...
Well, the people may have long-term needs.
Right.
That's just fact. Okay, so someone comes in and they're referred by their healthcare provider.
Mm-hmm.
You guys look at the referring reasons, and I'm sure that includes some sort of presenting problem.
Mm-hmm.
And do you do your own assessment then, or...?
Right. We have a nurse, and we also have 4 social workers. When we do the initial assessment, the nurse and the social worker go together so that the nurse can determine the level of care of the person.
So you travel out to people's homes?
We do, We go to the home, and the social worker also does an assessment. And then once the assessment is done and the nurse determines that the level of care of the client would qualify them for our program, then we go ahead and we enroll them in our services. And that's pretty much it. And then after that, we keep on monitoring them. So once a month, the social worker is calling them. Every 3 months, the social worker does a home visit. And then there's a yearly assessment that the nurse and the social worker do. So we're constantly monitoring them.
So it's almost less of, sounds like almost less of a direct relationship as much as it is, let's assess what we need, let's create an kind of interagency web of support or something of that nature. And then let's monitor this to see that it's meeting the needs.
Right. Uh-huh. We monitor them. So that's pretty much it.
Now they seniors of course would have the option of calling you.
Mm-hmm.
If you know they had concerns or issues or problems along the way, I suppose.
Right.
How about the family members? Is this something where you look for a strong family component?
That's the first thing we look for. We try to see if there's family or community that can be involved with them. Before we try to create that sort of support, and if not, it happens a lot where our seniors are by themselves. They don't have a lot of family support, or sometimes they don't have any support at all. So our agency is basically the only thing that they have, and we try to create the support through other agencies and referring them, monitoring them, and just making sure. And those people are usually the ones that call us constantly, the ones that don't have the support. And it's okay.
You become the support, I suppose.
We become the support. We become their voice, their advocates. And so they're constantly calling us, or we're doing frequent home visits versus every 3 months and so on.
So some people you're able to set up with supportive systems,
mm-hmm.
that include a strong family component. And those people are pretty much on automatic pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, how are you? Is the ramp working?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any additional needs?
Mm-hmm.
No, everything's cool. Thank you. You might even discharge
those
people.
Right. Those are the people that we monitor them for a couple of months, and then we go on and we discharge them because they're fine.
Well, and they could come back if there was ever any other or new presenting issues.
Right. We always tell them that. Now, if your situation changes, or if you feel that you need our services, you can always give us a call, and we'll enroll you again. And as long as they're not.
What type of conditions or what types of people that you work with would require more long-term care, more consistent care?
Usually people who are bedbound, who not even the family can take care of them. Those are people that are beyond our capability, so they would be better off maybe in a nursing home versus even with the family or with our program.
Is that something that gets struggled with by your agency? I mean, because we struggle with it with our elders and our families. Is that something where you look at, you know, over time you're looking at this case and you've got increasingly high levels of support,
mm-hmm.
And at some point there's a cost-benefit thing that says, you know, we can only, as an agency or as a collection of agencies, as the coordinating agency, provide X amount of support, at which point it's just really, really hard for us to function. And maybe creating some risks for you know, the individual, that if they were in convalescent care or some other more controlled level of care, higher level of care, I suppose, they'd be safer. You must bounce, you must get to that point with people sometimes.
It's sometimes, yes, and it's usually the doctor has already spoken with the client or with the family members, and it's up to us to talk to them and let them know, you know what, I mean, it's pretty much everybody's been already aware of this, so we already have, so maybe in-home support.
But maybe be part of the assessment. You may even go in and say, you know, we could probably maintain this as long as X, Y, and Z are okay.
Uh-huh.
But if something happens,
we have to let them go.
Or if the nature of their condition is progressive.
If there's, I mean, if like you said, if it's the cost benefit part of it is not going to work for the client. I mean, we've exhausted all the resources, and home supportive services already has given them all these hours in the home, and they can't give them any more hours, and we can provide any more help. Nobody else can give them any more support, and they would be better off in a nursing home than. Unfortunately, sometimes we have to let them go for that reason.
Sure. So you're rehearsing when it happens to you, right? Because you're getting to see this happen as a younger adult.
Yeah.
So you're already mentally in your head going, oh, okay, so when I get down to this, I'm going to be really mad.
No, yeah. I mean, I've been working for the elderly for, I think it's been 7 or 8 years already. And I've learned so much.
Was that by accident or design?
No, it was by accident. I graduated and I ended up first in an adult daycare center. That was my first job, and it just ended up being seniors this whole time.
And they haven't scared you off yet or run you off yet.
No,
also happen.
No, I mean, I love them more. I get more attached and I get more passionate about it, and I learn a lot, actually.
Good. So maybe. As long as you're still working, I guess we're not quite as scared of aging as we were 5 minutes ago. 337-8874 is the phone number. We're here with Griselda Martinez. She's the supervising care manager for the Work Training Center's Multi-Purpose Senior Citizens Program.
Senior Services.
Senior Services Program, or MISP.
MISP.
Yeah. Is the acronym for that. So, you've got this program. You've got 200 people. How many staff members do you have? You said four social workers.
Four social workers. We have a nurse and supervising care manager, which is myself, and then Virginia Gonzalez, who's the site director. And
you guys must stay pretty busy.
Yeah, we do. We do, actually. It's a lot of work, a lot of paperwork, a lot of monitoring.
Well, you know, it's interesting because one of the things about aging and having to deal with an increasing number of agencies is there's like lots of hoops to jump through. You know, even for one dealing with one agency, you've got all these hoops to jump through. But now you've got this person with multiple needs and multiple agencies. You guys must walk around with carpal tunnel.
I mean, it's so much paperwork, so much, like you said, so much hoops to run.
Lesson one, helping people fill out forms.
We do a lot for our seniors, and I mean, not only us, but other agencies as well, and we try to connect them with all the other agencies, and it's hard work, but it's very rewarding as well, so. It's worth the carpal tunnel and all the
work. Get a lot of referrals from families. Do you think families are aware enough that they know maybe when's a good time to start using your services?
Sometimes we do get referrals where families pretty much know, you know, this would be a good program for my mother or for my grandmother. But there's other times that we do get those referrals where the client isn't quite ready for our program, that maybe the family thinks, oh, well, she would benefit, but we see, you know what, your mother still drives, and she can pretty much go to the restroom on her own, and she has a large support system. So you can give us a call when her situation changes, or sometimes...
So you can screen?
Yeah, we screen them off. Sometimes they're okay. We see that they're fine, and the family thinks that they might benefit from the program, but we can refer them to another agency that can be a little bit more helpful than us at that time, but we always keep the doors open.
So if you were a family member, you're listening mm-hmm. to this show, or somebody just sent it to you, like an email link or something, and you're clicking it and going, yeah, I got an elderly person. We're working pretty hard here to take care of them. What kind of stuff should they keep an eye out for in terms of meeting your referral criteria?
So we have our, when we do our form, what we do is we have a little section where we have, it's called their activities of daily living.
Okay.
And they're separated by tasks. And for example, can they go to the restroom on their own? Can they go to their medical appointments on their own? Or is there somebody that can take them? Do they have
meals?
They can cook. Can they cook their
meals? Access food. Can they get groceries? That's mm-hmm. kind of interesting.
All those things that inhibit their activities of daily living.
Days.
What else is there?
Are they maintaining hygiene? I guess that would be one.
And that's another one. Yeah, you're saying. We also ask them about their memory. If they're able to pay their own bills or take their own medication without forgetting.
Do you get a significant number of people with Alzheimer's / dementia / other mm-hmm. types of
dementias?
Yeah,
we do. Most of them have some sort of dementia related to either their Alzheimer's or their strokes or maybe their old age.
I just wore it out. I thought too much and it just kind of stopped working after a while.
Yeah, so yeah, there's most of our clients have some sort of dementia, and it's because of different reasons.
Okay, and then that can play itself out in your activities of daily living in lots of different ways.
Mm-hmm. In lots of different ways. Like I was mentioning, the medication intake. Sometimes there's clients that may forget at what time they took their medication.
Sure.
And there's others that need somebody to actually give them the medication.
Depending on your health and mm-hmm. certainly elderly people, you almost have to be an astrophysicist to figure out some of the pill schedules.
Oh, yeah, they took many pills.
Exactly. You've got X number of medications. They all have different schedules. They can be taken with certain things and not with other things. And, you know, it's a fairly complex system.
It is. Yeah, so.
Okay. Do you measure friends? Like, do they have friends? Do they hang out with friends? Do they?
Yeah, we ask them about their support system, informal.
Okay, there you go.
So,
And social interactions, because, you know, maybe my friends aren't helping me out, but, you know, it's cool to be around.
Yeah, and that helps them with maybe they're having feelings of isolation or depression, and it helps them to be maybe involved in their church, or maybe we can refer them to an adult daycare center, or Catholic Charities, or a friendly visitor, or whatnot, or, you know.
Volunteering someplace and working with younger people or something.
Uh-huh.
Something that gets them out and about.
Mm-hmm. Depends on the client and their function.
So you also look at things like mood and mental health stuff.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
So everything, that's why the nurse and the social worker go together to do the initial assessment, because they cover both areas, both the health and the psychosocial aspects of their lives.
What if, do you get a lot of substance using elderly people? I mean, besides the prescription meds.
You know what? No, we had one that was abusing his own medication.
Okay.
And he would keep on going to the hospital, so they would keep on giving him, like, pain pills.
Yeah, those work.
Yeah, so he was, like, addicted to them. But those are the clients that we have to refer, like, to adult protective services and stuff. Because
but no drinking stuff, huh?
Drinking, yeah. There's There's not a lot, but there are some that we're monitoring them, and thankfully those have a good support system that can look out for them. So, but we do have, we've had a couple.
Okay, so if people are interested in contacting you with questions or referrals for their seniors, who should they call?
They can
call. Give me a number.
It's 760-352-6181.
6181.
Uh-huh. And they can call me, Griselda Martinez, or...
or whoever answers the phone.
Whoever answers the phone, just, you know, to say, I would like to refer my significant other or my mother or whoever to the Multi-Purpose Senior Services Program. Or they can just request information.
Yeah, I've got some questions. I've got this going on. Is this something that fits with what you do?
Uh-huh. We also have a webpage. They can, if they have internet access, they can check out the webpage.
We're actually getting to the generation now where seniors are going, not like they're any good at it or anything, but you're going to have surfing seniors.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, it's we're getting there. I didn't say we're like hardcore.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we should.
My mom's 70 and she texts, okay?
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Better than me, sadly.
Yeah.
And you know, has an internet life, et cetera, et cetera. So web pages are good. So
the web page.
Well, all you'd have to do is type into your browser Work Training Center.
Yeah, just type in Work Training Center and El Centro.
Or if you really want to go to Google first and do it that way, you could go to Google and type in Work Training Center.
Uh-huh. And that way you can get
Bing or any of your local area search engines.
Whatever. Uh-huh.
And they could, type on multi, whatever you're saying.
Multi-purpose senior services program.
Something, we need to get something catchy there. Multi-purpose, because I suppose multi-purpose and seniors almost is high school, because high schools have multi-purpose rooms.
Oh. Multi-purpose senior, oh, okay.
So if I tag it to that in my head, I think I can get it. Multi-purpose senior services, not senior citizens. Senior Services
Program.
All right. And you're Griselda Martinez. You're the program manager.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. And you've been working for seniors for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
And I love it. I love it.
Do you have seniors in your life?
Maybe that's why I love it so much. I really don't have seniors. My grandparents passed away. I don't have anybody. So
these are adopted.
These are my adopted.
You've got lots of grandmas and grandpas.
Oh yeah. And they still call me. I mean, they know where I work at now, so they sometimes call me and ask me, Griselda, how are you? And God bless you. And they're so sweet.
So you worked your way up through as a social worker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First.
Uh huh. I started as a social worker, and then I moved my way up to supervisor.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for coming aboard today, and if we can track down Mario.
Where did he go?
We're not supposed to do another. See, in the radio, we're actually supposed to pretend that everything's, like, invisible.
Oh.
And but anytime Maria steps out, I know this will get edited out of the podcast anyhow. We're okay.
Okay.
Hey, thank you for coming aboard today. It sounds like you guys are doing wonderful things over at the Work Training Center. Let's wish you another 30 years. Let's see, you'll be like, what, 47 or something in 30 years?
Yeah,
something like that. And you'll be the deputy director, and you'll have lots of other programs going on. No, we'll keep coming back for the Work Training Center, and sounds like you're doing really, really important stuff in the community.
Thank you, and thank you for letting us talk here about our services and... No, they can always give us a call.
Well, and remember, say you heard about it on Let's Talk About It, and they'll give you gratitude for free.
Okay.
Like complimentary gratitude.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. Join us again next week. This is Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in Imperial County, and I'm Scott, and we'll see you. Thanks.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 80.7 FM, Las Vegas. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXRadio.com.